Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get started with a prayer. Dear God, help us to function in this society as we carry on your will. Give us the strength to continue to move forward in what you would have us to do, and the endurance when trials come across our path. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following quotation. Instead of worrying about what you cannot control, shift your energy to what you can create. This quote is from author Roy Bennett. Maggie had reestablished her relationship with Fred after his return from Hawaii. She had such a nice evening with him at his downtown Chicago condo, where they reminisced about the past. But Maggie had to leave early in the evening because she had business to attend back home. So Maggie cut her time short with Fred and left his presence earlier than what Fred had wanted. She drove back to Detroit, where she dealt with her personal matters, got a good night's sleep, then arose the next morning and made the 2-hour trip back to Chicago. At that time, it was a crisp Sunday morning, and after her drive, Maggie returned to Fred's place, where they prepared to leave for Southside Baptist in time for the morning service. Maggie recognized the church when Fred had pointed it out to her as she drove him to the airport after he had accepted a job opportunity in Hawaii. Maggie also remembered seeing the church when she and John took the same route on their way to the airport in their departing for the islands. The service at Southside Baptist, Fred's home church, was much different from what Maggie had grown up with at Mark Methodist, with its traditional, more solemn mode of worship. She felt comfortable there, however, because it was more in the style of her husband, John, and their church back in Detroit, Faith Methodist, with its charismatic mode of worship, where outward emotions prevailed, and those emotions were felt immediately upon their entrance into the sanctuary as the choir lifted their voices in song.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all my fears. When I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold.
Jesus, you're the center.
Hope for
discern in the simple things in life. You're the music in the meadows and the streams, the voices of the children, my family and my home. You're the source and finish of my highest dreams. Oh, oh, oh,
yeah. You're the center of my soul.
Boy, that's good.
Oh, that's good and perfect comes from you.
You're the heart of my contentment.
Blessed Savior, He's worthy.
We'll be right back after a break.
This is follow-up to my previous posting in reference to Life in the Spirit by Dr. William Porter. I must say that I was more than thrilled to meet with him yesterday to gain my own personally signed copy of this book. I must also say that from page one, I was captivated by his connections with practical living, real life experiences to scripture. And for me, that is a win-win situation. But look, just don't take my word for it. Actually, yeah, take my word. But also, take a look and read for yourself. Life in the Spirit, Dr. William Porter. You can also access more information online at www.williamporterlife.com. Happy readings!
Welcome back. Praises continued to be lifted up by the spoken word, which was delivered by the church's dynamic pastor, the Reverend Johnny Johns. After the choir had sung their selection, it was time for the minister to speak the word. Yes, the Reverend Johns was ready to deliver his message of the day, which was entitled, The Anatomy of an Alien.
Brothers and sisters, the sermon today is taken from John 3:5, which states, Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I remind you that in this passage, Jesus was responding to a question from Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the religious community of that day, known as the Pharisees, who approached Jesus and wanted to know how he performed the miracles he had done. Let me continue. In the dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus, the master answered this question by saying that anyone who is truly converted becomes a new person spiritually. That is, he is a born-again creation. And let me tell you something right now. A life that is the quality of a person's life is significantly improved by this rebirth. By living in the Spirit and becoming an alien, as it were, to or separated from, if you will, the world's concerns and problems. And let me say this, this kind of life that I'm talking about is certainly possible today because we have the benefit of Jesus completing his work of redemption for all of mankind with his death and resurrection. But not only that, we have the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, living within us right now. If we sincerely believe and act on that belief, and with that Spirit, as Jesus himself said, and I quote, from Mark 11:23-24, For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them. Hallelujah, he's alive right now, and he's with us, within each one of us, every day, through the Holy Spirit. Peace be to you all.
Reverend Johns concluded his message by giving an invitation for prayer and for spiritual renewal, which Maggie accepted, believing that it would contribute greatly to her new life as she moved forward. When the service ended, Maggie and Fred greeted the pastor as they exited the sanctuary, and then they returned to his condo. Our scripture for today comes from Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. It says that, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Yes, this scripture describes the church as being his body, the body of Christ. Yes, we are the body of Christ. And that body consists not only of the flesh, for Christ lived as a physical person who was nonetheless divine here on earth 2,000 years ago. But that body also consists of spirit, the Spirit that is characterized by what the Apostle Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit, which includes love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these fruits, Paul tells us that there is no law. And not only that, but as Jesus himself said, these traits are part of a life that will never end. So, by abiding by these spiritual truths, notwithstanding the trials that will surely come to all of us, we are free. We are free from the law and have the assurance of eternal life. Our virtual song is coming up. Well, that's all for today. We'll see you the next time. And remember, there's always more good things coming your way.
The storms don't cease, close.